Robin, I want to like kind of just take this time to thank everybody for just being patient with us.
Yes, we've been gone.
We've been gone for about a year. I looked at our last recording. I think it said like August of 2022. We still got people listening, so thank you for all the dedicated people that have been listening. But again, mentally, I had a lot going on, and I just really shut down and disappeared, you know, because I didn't know how to respond to a lot of the issues that I was dealing with. And so this episode, I think, would be a great episode to kind of talk about some things that I know a lot of people may deal with and may not even know that they deal with these things. So, as I always say, Robin, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Welcome to Disaster Data 101. I'm Natasha Renee.
And I'm Robin Brown.
Come join this disastrous journey as we talk about our dating horror stories,
real life issues,
and how we can work through these issues to create a healthy space and becoming a better you for you. And today's episode is So Anxious.
So Anxious.
And I'm not anxious for somebody to come see me. We are talking about anxiety.
Anxiety is real. It's so real.
So I thought this was a good episode because a lot of people deal with anxiety. And dealing with anxiety while dating, it looks different. Mm-hmm. You know, I know for me, I used to deal with it really bad. I used to have panic attacks. So when I would date people, I would have to let them know, like, hey, I'm just letting you know I have anxiety, because I would get so anxious, like, especially if I'm arguing or anything, and I'll just start hyperventilating. Yeah. So I had to let people know, like, I'm just letting you know, I can't control it. Yeah. Something may happen. Some people took advantage of that. Mm. And you know, some people were, this is too much for me. So I felt like this would be a great episode. Like, have you dealt with anxiety or no? I know you.
No. No, well, yes, I have dealt with anxiety. Okay. Like you said, it's so normal for everybody, you know, like the little things that people don't want to maybe put anxiety because of the stigma, but the worrying, being overwhelmed, and then in dating too, but not so much my anxiety. I think worrying about other people.
Yes.
You know, and like worrying about their well-being that caused the anxiety, you know, for me. So it wasn't so much like something that I was doing, but it was like, oh my gosh, are you going out?
Yeah.
I hope you're okay. You know, like, let me know when you get there.
Yes. That thing, let me know when you get home. Yeah. Guys, that was not a part of the notes, but you guys do not understand. Nobody is trying to figure out who you with and why
that
you
part,
with them.
That part.
It is literally, especially if you are dating a black man, it is literally, I want to make sure you are safe.
That you're safe with everything that happens, and with just a bullet nose, no name, these cops, anything can happen. And that's where my worry always came from.
Yes. Yeah. So the first thing I wanted us to focus on for this episode in ways of overcoming anxiety while dating, like, what are some things that I guess you would say, because I know if everyone doesn't know, Robin is a psychotherapist.
I know. The way he's like, I love to say psychotherapist.
And so again, this is one of those let's talk to Robin episode. So what are some things when dating or talking to people or helping them, what are some coping, I guess, mechanisms that can help when dating and you know you have anxiety?
So you said the best one, you know, being real honest and effective communication. And that's scary sometimes, right? Letting our guard down. And like how you said, how is somebody going to perceive me? Are they going to be receptive? That's going to create more anxiety for me. But to communicate, like, look, this is not a you thing. This is a me thing. So this might be my behaviors if this happens, or this might be my trigger. So one, having communication with others. Two, knowing what might set you off for a panic attack. But anxiety is so different because some people know what can trigger it. And sometimes a panic attack can come out of nowhere.
Yes.
You can be just doing fine, living your best life, and all of a sudden you get overwhelmed. So when you have those, you know, one, creating a safe space for whatever that looks like for you. So if you're able to phone somebody or call somebody to kind of calm you down during that event, that's good. But if you're by yourself, definitely being in control of your breathing, because since you already shared that you've had panic attacks, you know, it feels like your chest is caving
in. Yes.
you can't breathe, like, I'm drowning.
And then sometimes, and like you said, I knew when mine would come on. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, can you please just talk to me? Yep. Just start talking, please.
Yep. Take your mind
start
off.
Talking to me. Yep. Why? And I'm like, just talk, yep. please, just
and
have
so
a conversation
like that,
with me.
What we call is like a grounding exercise, yeah. a grounding technique. So whenever you're noticing that you're having one, or if somebody's around to do that, to either communicate with you or focus on something, like, mm-hmm. let me focus on these drips right here. Like, let me look at that. Let me do breathing. Let me look at a picture on the wall, something to take my mind mm-hmm. into a different place to kind of calm it down and bring it back. And then doing some mindfulness of things as well, too. And I always say, do basic, your five senses. What can you smell? Yeah. What can you see? What can you hear? What can you taste? If you have something, so you can taste, like, and what can you feel? Because when you're
that's
in the moment,
I'm touchy.
That,
yep.
yeah, that touchy, that sensory aspect of it. You know, and when you're dating, communicating that with your partner, because they're going to get scared, especially if they've never, like, everybody experienced anxiety, but everybody's anxiety looks different. Mm-hmm. So to tell them, like, hey, this has been helpful for me, or this might be helpful for me, to kind of be on the same page. Now, if you're dealing with somebody who's kind of apprehensive or don't want to be bothered, that's their choice, you know.
Yes.
We can't force that. All we can do is explain to them. That's why I was like, before we filmed, I was telling Tasha about NAMI, which is National Alliance for Mental Health Illness, that offers support groups. So if you are dealing with somebody that has anxiety, you can go and get more information about anxiety, depression, bipolar, any mental health illness. And it gives you coping skills, too, mm-hmm. to how to work with a loved one or a family member while they're, you know, needing additional support.
Okay, and I think that's great. And for this episode, I'll make sure that I actually post that in the mm-hmm. notes. And then afterwards, even on the videos, I'll make sure that that information is available for the videos. And also, I will put that information on the show notes for the audio. So one thing, we're talking about dating and making your partner aware. But I feel like also there becomes some confidence. You have to be confident within yourself. Mm-hmm. So I would ask this question. Also, what are some techniques for you to boost your self-assurance?
Definitely giving yourself positive affirmations. I'm big on that, and I tell my patients that all the time. And a lot of people get so uncomfortable when I do new evaluations. And I name a spot, like, what are your positives? Like, mm-hmm. what are your strengths? People can never answer that. They can never say what they're... But when I ask, what is your weakness? And what, oh, they can give me a whole list. So I'm big on positive affirmations. Like, what do you know true about yourself? Like, I'm smart, I'm dedicated, I'm hardworking. If you pick five daily to repeat to yourself, I like to use Post-its. I've had Post-its in my office, Post-its in my room. I've given my son Post-its, a positive affirmation to build myself up, and giving I messages like, I am a great mom. I mm-hmm. am a hard worker. I am a great daughter. I'm a great friend. I'm a great cook. Like, anything just to boost me up. On my worst days, guess what? When I look at that, it puts a smile on my face mm-hmm. because these are all the things bringing back into perspective of who Robin is. Mm-hmm. And I think that gives us our self-assurance, because we can seek it from other people, but we got to start within,
yes.
you know, first.
I will say it's one book that I listened to, also read, You Are a Badass. And that was the one thing that she said. Make sure you put those Post-its everywhere.
Yep.
Put them in the car, on the dash, yep. everywhere you look, you need to have those Post-its, because yep. you need to, in your mind, start to believe it.
To believe
and it. And the only way you're going to believe it is if you consistently see it.
If you see it and say it to yourself. And I've had so many people that I work with, like, this is so uncomfortable. And I'm like, I understand, but we're yeah. going to get you. But then the next week, they add to it. And it's like, I'm saying this now. And then they're writing in a journal, like, I am all these things. And you can see them going from a sense of just, like, such low confidence, low self-esteem.
Yeah.
So now they're saying it with confidence. Like, I am woman. Like, I am woman. But, like, I am a badass. I am all of these things. And it's so great, especially for people that have gone through trauma, too. Like, those positive affirmations mean everything.
No, they definitely are. And I feel like that was a great way to end part one
yes.
of So Anxious. So right now, we're going to end part one, and then we're going to go back into part two of So Anxious. And we are back with part two of So Anxious. And not someone to see. anxiety. So anybody coming in this part, I'm not anxious to see anybody. I didn't have a real story. I can briefly talk about it because I think I didn't mention the story only because of the fact that, like, we kind of talked about the person. It goes down in the DMs.
Oh, yeah.
That person. Yeah, but I know when I dated, like, after having my kids and stuff, I was afraid to date, you know, because I knew what it was, but I didn't know how to manage it. And then with some people, guys, like, I'm not a very big person. So when I date bigger guys, like that. Mm-hmm. It comes off really scary sometimes. So he's not big. He's just tall, and like, if you see him, it's just like, okay, you look a little aggressive here. Nice person, but you look a little aggressive here. So it would be some things. It would be like, well, why ain't you say nothing? And it'd be like, oh my gosh, like, it's not that easy.
Yeah.
So knowing, like you said, some people may not even realize that they have anxiety, or, you know, they have it, but, you know, we don't understand how to manage it. Like I said, I learned how to deal with my panic attacks because I started, like you said, senses. I can tell when one would start to happen. I can tell when my blood pressure go up. I know my body enough, even when I'm at home, because I still do deal with panic attacks. I just deal with them
a little bit better
and more to myself. And even in my head, like, all right, nope. Calm down. Breathe. Like you said, breathe. Listen to my breath. I started listening, and still when I started going back and forth, it'd be like, slow down. And you know, slow down. Yeah. Like, I never understood the paper bag. But it's to slow your breathing down because you start to hyperventilate, start breathing fast.
And it just gets worse.
Yeah. Because you start feeling like, oh my gosh,
I'm about to die.
This is the end. It's over.
Take the wheel.
So I guess, how could we understand it and manage anxiety more?
Yeah, so I mean, that's a great technique, you know, and just one, like, of course, being aware, but definitely breathing, you know. And sometimes, too, we have things that we are anxious about, but journaling helps, you know, and like writing those down. So not necessarily when you're in the midst of a panic attack, which you can probably attest to, you're not thinking like, oh, let me write this on pen and paper. But, you know, just processing and rethinking about those feelings that you had, you know, and I think that brings it a lot into perspective, you know, but definitely, like I said, grounding exercises, being in control of your breaths. Some people, you know, if you go the medication route, you know, if for as needed, you know, I'm not a pill pusher, but some people might need a little bit of medication, and they do have anxiety medication.
They do.
And you don't have to go to a psychiatrist.
Your regular doctor.
Your primary care can prescribe it. And they can, especially if it's Zoloft, which a lot of people take for anxiety, which is Zyrtoline. That's the generic is for Zoloft. And you can get the lowest prescription, 5 milligrams. The highest, I think, is 80, but you don't ever want to feel like certain way. But there's medication. You can self-medicate.
So I'll say this because this is what my doctor told me. So I'm only going off what my doctor told me. My old doctor, years ago, probably over 10 years ago, and when I started having issues with my blood pressure. So I deal with uncontrollable high blood pressure, a.k.a. anxiety. That's literally what it is. And so she told me, I can put you on medication, but I'm not. Mm-hmm. She was like, because I'm on medication and I can't get off of it.
Yep.
So yeah, I'll leave that as a disclaimer. Yeah. That's what my doctor told me. Yep. Looked me in my eyes. She was like, I'm not doing it, because she was like, trust me, I'm on it.
Yeah. I always say, try to do, if you're dealing with it, if you're one, therapy, of course, that's the biggest self care. I'm going to promote that, talk therapy. But if you can too, do your own self care too.
Yeah.
Do things that you enjoy. So if it's lighting candles, taking a bubble bath, a hot shower, something that's relaxing, because you want to be in a relaxing environment to kind of clear your mind. Because when you got anxiety, you know, you got 1,000 things going on. You're going down a rabbit hole. You know, you get into this ruminative thinking and of everything, and it's just like it becomes a spiral, and it doesn't end.
Yes.
And then that leads to the panic attack, which you feel like doesn't end.
Yes. Yeah, because it has changed. One thing, like, I enjoy cooking. Mm-hmm. And it's not like fast meals. It's those long, mm-hmm. drawn out where I prep. I get the veggies. I'm cutting everything mm-hmm. up. I'm soaking the beans. I'm buying everything fresh because for me, it's the smells mm-hmm. of everything and just taking my time to do things. So that helps a lot.
You're focusing on something. Yep. You know, that because helps. When you have anxiety, you can't focus. So for you to take your time in doing it, that puts your mind into yep. a different focus, a positive focus. Yes.
So, you know, that's always a positive. So just because I cook for you doesn't mean it maybe it's helping me, not you.
Right.
You're just enjoying the benefit. And, you know, speaking of love and dating and cooking for people, I guess the last question for this part before we get into the dating 101 cards, what are some strategies for a more relaxed dating experience for someone who is either dealing with anxiety or dealing with someone who may have anxiety?
Right, because when you say they're dealing with somebody yeah. that has anxiety, yes. you know, one, of course, to have that communication, you know, and to know, you know, and to know what your triggers are, you know, and if it's dating, especially if it's going out, a lot of people have anxiety just going out.
That was me. That yeah. was,
and so I deal a lot with my patients.
I was going to say, let me back up. Yeah. That was the first issue when, after I had my daughter and going on a date, oh my gosh, the prep work, I would lose my keys. Mm-hmm. I would have panic attacks because I was so trying to hurry up and mm-hmm. get things. I would drop the keys, lose the keys. At one point, I'm like, I'm just not going because yep. I couldn't find anything
yep.
because my anxiety was so bad. Then mm-hmm. if I couldn't park and find Philadelphia, even in D.C., two worst places to park and the two worst places for me to date dealing with anxiety, because trust me, when I go around the block one time and I can't find anything, I'm like, it's not meant to be. Let me go home. Oh my gosh, I gotta drop park all the way down the street. Trust me, dating,
that's what I was like, it's a lot just to date, to get out the house, you know, and especially if you're not in the Netflix and chill type zone yet, you know, like, oh no, come over here. But you know, and just telling yourself, like, okay, always, you know, I always tell people to think of worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. And so if worst case scenario happens, how would you handle it?
Yep.
So when you get ready to go out and best case scenario happens, it's like, oh, worst case didn't happen. But always have a plan A and a plan B, like, of how you're going to get there. Now, if it is something where you're just like, oh, I can't go out in public or I can't go to a restaurant, maybe can we meet at a park? You know, if it's like an open space, you know, can we, you know, do this? Can I make some suggestions? And, you know, in the beginning, you don't really kind of want to self-disclose to somebody because it's like, this might not go further mm-hmm. along, you know. But if it's something that you can kind of like, you know, bring up or suggest, like, hey, maybe our first meeting, we go here where it's a spot that you're comfortable with. I think that's always helpful. And so you maybe get to know the person, then you feel comfortable. Good. Look, I got anxiety. These are my triggers. Part.
For me, I guess one thing that I can say to help, and this is what I used to do, I always felt like coffee dates were more easy.
Mm-hmm.
So it would literally, I will always try to choose a Sunday because Sunday, everybody isn't out so mm-hmm. much. You know, I will always ask, can we meet on a Sunday in the morning or something? Because I know I don't have to deal with either rush hour traffic or all these things. I can take my time, get up. It's in, usually if it's nice outside, they have somewhere where you can sit, like you said, mm-hmm. a park. It's not around a lot of people and it's an in and out intimate space mm-hmm. without being too intimate.
Yep. That part.
So as we are doing and Robin is prepping right now mm-hmm. for the great Dating 101 card game, we will pull two cards from the deck. Robin and I will ask the question, and we will both answer the question off the card if we did not ask from last season.
Yes, and I don't think I've ever seen this one before. So, Natasha, do you prefer love stories or action flicks?
Action. Action, action, action. I am a Marvel fan. I'm a Transformers fan. for my 40th, Transformers, the new Transformers came out. I was ready to go. Unfortunately, the person that was around was not a action type movie person. I was so pissed off because it was, why do we gotta go here? This is where you took other people. A movie theater is a movie theater, but sir, it don't matter which movie theater. Like, can you not mess up my Transformer experience? And no. I told him, I will go by myself. I love, you love action. Yes.
Now me, I'm love stories all the way. I can't stand actions. The person I'm dating, he loves action, but I take one for the team. So he's like you. It must be a Gemini, the Gemini, y'all. He loves all the Marvel and all the stuff too. So I've seen just about everything. But me personally, a good love story.
Okay. Now, I know we didn't do this one. I don't think we did this one on our show.
Okay.
I think we did this one with homeboys.
Conversation.
Not even on that particular. Well, while we're with them. Okay. I remember Reggie reading this card.
Okay.
So, you arrive for a first date and wait for them to arrive. While waiting, you vibe with someone else. 20 minutes later, your date arrives. What would you do?
Okay, the one I'm vibing with, hopefully we exchange numbers. This is just a date. We not in a relationship, so. Look, never, always, you know, never put all your eggs in one basket. So I'm going to, you know, let them know. But I probably, the person I'm vibing with, I'm so honest. I probably am like, I'm waiting for a date. Yeah, I'm waiting for somebody. But if I vibe, let me get those digits too.
Yeah, I don't know about getting the digits. Maybe we can... You know, everybody wants to exchange social
media. Well, you know,
Tasha,
you know, if you're going to exchange, you know, you're not saying no. So if they're like, let me get your number, Tasha,
I'd be like, no, I'll give you my social. Here's my social media.
Here's my social media.
You know, you can follow me on my public page.
And then there'll be Disaster Day in season 5.
That part. I would be honest in the beginning and say I'm waiting for somebody. If they choose to keep having a conversation, and like the car said, if we're vibing, you know, I'll laugh and joke, whatever, da-da-da. But as soon as the person that is coming, hey, nice meeting you. I enjoy talking to you. Now, if they ask me for my number while the person is there, no.
Oh, no, yeah, I'm not.
No,
I'll
but if they ask before, so you got a time. You need to ask me before the person
comes. In this window.
And if you don't,
I'm sorry for your loss.
Appreciate it. That was a great episode.
That was so
excited about this new season.
Yes.
We're going to have some part ones and part twos.
Yes.
And Robin, can you let them know how can they find you?
On Instagram at Robin, R-O-B-Y-N _217.
And you can find me, Natasha Renee _TheCreator on Instagram. Make sure you are following the podcast page also, Disaster Dating 101 Podcast. Twitter is no longer Twitter. It is X.
Right.
So again... After the show, you will hear all that information because right now, I don't know who is who and what is what. So I'll make sure I get our TikToks, our X pages.
Everything.
All I can tell you right now is Instagram because I even know I have to work on our Facebook because I had to pull that down. Because again, I was dealing with literally a lot, you guys, and I was cutting all social media off so no one could contact me. But yeah. Great episode, new season, season 4, and it's more to come. Okay, so let's do Dating with a Purpose now, since I have that on the Google Doc. And then after that, I gotta look at the shout out to the Eagles. Let me look at the notes. Love language.
Okay.
Love language. Okay. right, I want to thank you guys for listening. Disaster Data 101 is available on all major streaming platforms. Don't forget to follow us on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook at Disaster Dating 101 Podcast. Twitter, Disaster Date 101. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. You can follow me, Natasha Renee, at NatashaRenee_thecreator, and Robin
at Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, _217.
And also, if you would like to purchase the Dating 101 cards, you can go to www.walkinginwholenessllc.com/dating101. You can also follow them at Dating 101 Card Game on Instagram. Thank you guys so much for listening, and good night.
Thank you. Good night.